What is up? What is going on, everybody? This week, all three of us are getting oiled up. We're playing some volleyball. It is everything all of you have ever wanted to see on an episode of The Threequel, and it's on the other side of the song. Welcome back, everyone, to another new episode of The Threequel. As always, I'm one of your three co-hosts, Ethan Klein, here with me this evening. As always, Mike Duranik and Brad Miller. Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
Doing just fine, Ethan. Thanks for asking.
I'm doing great. Ready to dive into a classic movie and hopefully in that process offer some observations that'll blow your guys' minds.
Ooh, I always enjoy that. I am super excited for this week's movie. We are talking Top Gun. We are doing it because tonight there will be some screenings, but the wide release will be tomorrow when this episode comes out, Memorial Day weekend. Top Gun Maverick is hitting theaters. I think, you know, we touched on, I believe this is when it came out, we were talking about Backdraft and like the gap between sequels. I don't know why it came up on that one, and maybe it didn't, and I'm just inventing something, but it sounds familiar. One of the longest waits ever for a sequel. I think a lot of people thought, you know, too little too late, maybe in some aspects, and for all intents and purposes, the Rotten Tomatoes game on that one, I think I did mention this, it's still sitting at 97% for the new Top Gun film, so It's on pace to be one of the most successful sequels of all time. One of my most anticipated movies of the year. Super excited for that. So it was just too perfect of an opportunity to talk about the original Top Gun, one of my favorite action movies of all time. Maybe my favorite 80s movie. I don't know. Yeah, definitely. I think it might. I'm giving away way too much right off the top. Everybody knows my feelings about it already. I haven't even asked you guys the first question that I always do, so we'll get into it. Gentlemen, what was your first experience with Top Gun? Was it in 1986? Was it a little bit later? Seeing it on video, on TV, what was your first experience with this film?
Being 41 years old, that was a very long time ago, and I honestly don't remember. I'm sure I did not see it in the theater when I was five. I would not have turned six yet that year. So, yeah, I'm just going to say I randomly saw it sometime at my parents' house, but really couldn't tell you.
I'm glad you're both sitting down because this was the first time I had ever seen Top Gun.
Stop it.
I wish we could live stream the video occasionally just so that the listeners could hear. I wanted to keep this as the best kept secret for you guys as you were talking about how much you love this. Obviously, I'm extremely familiar with Top Gun and pop culture. I basically knew the movie without having seen it. I certainly knew the music, Tom Cruise, right? Maverick. I knew Val Kilmer, Iceman. I knew all of this stuff. I even knew Anthony Edwards Goose, but I had never seen the movie until we watched it for this podcast. So this was my first viewing.
I am floored. Oh my God. Well, I mean, we are going to unpack that. This is going to be such a fantastic, you seeing this for the first time in 2022 is going to be a very interesting perspective. I'm excited to hear about my experience with this. You know, we joke a lot about Red Eye. You know, the 25 times that blew Brad away. I'm not even going to say a number. I'm not even going to throw a number at this movie because it would, one, be wrong, and two, in an effort to be right, it would be a number that Brad probably wouldn't even believe, and we would just waste a lot of time with him making fun of me. So it's a lot. It started at a very young age. You know, I always have IMDb pulled up on the side of our Zoom link here so I can pull up stuff if need be. I have looked at this poster a lot. It's the case of the DVD that my parents had. I'll take a guess and say I was probably 8 years old the first time I watched it. You know, I just remember it being on the TV and then watching it many, many, many times since and loving it every single time. So let's just get right into it. I'm so excited to get this conversation going. Now knowing Mike's new information, mind blown already, Mike. And you're already on the block here with the Rotten Tomatoes game. It's how we kick off the show now. It's how we get into our conversation. Mike's been on an unheralded run of success with this game. Quite often just hitting it right on the head. You're going up against Brad this week, as I could not knock you off last week with Twister. So, Mike, you know that the second one is at 97%. What is the original Top Gun sitting at on Rotten Tomatoes?
Well, I feel as we've done 80s movies that they have trended lower, so I don't think there's any way that this is in the upper 90s. But this thing has a cult following. I recall it always being pretty well received. And so for lack of a better reason, I'm going to just nail this right at an 86, which is the year it came out. So that seems like about right, you know, 10 points lower than the new one, but a solid B.
Oh, I'm taking the under on that. Yeah, I'm going to go with 85. I just don't see how it's higher than an 86, so I'll go 85.
Well, Mike, you say often that all good things must come to an end. I don't want to misquote you. I know it's a much more well-put-together quote than that. But it has ended. The streak has ended. And in a fashion that it's kind of sad. The audience score on this thing is 83%. The critic score on this thing, 56%. This is a considered rotten movie on Rotten Tomatoes. The little snippet they have on here, it's, you know, though it features some of the most memorable aerial footage shot with expert eye for action, Top Gun offers little for non-adolescent viewers to chew on. Which is a very odd way to review an action movie from the 80s. Apparently all, you know, this group of critics were really worried about their kids not enjoying this movie, which I will contest that as an 8-year-old, there was plenty for me to chew on in this movie, but either way. So the streak is over, Mike. I apologize. You will have an opportunity here in a couple weeks to get back up on your pedestal. But I'll ask you guys, 56%, is Rotten Tomatoes right having this movie listed at that score?
No, they're not right. I mean, 56 is too low. But I understand where they're coming from, and I was actually I was a bit let down with this rewatch, and we can get into that a little bit. I guess this is the spot to talk about it. I was underwhelmed. It's not as epic as I remember. It's not as I don't know, the action's not as there as much. Tom Cruise was much more subdued than I recall. Like, I remember him being like this loose cannon, like everything about him is, you know, selfish and he's just out there doing all this stuff. But really there was not much of that. He was showboating a little bit, but a lot of stuff he was doing was for his team and for, you know, the right reasons. So I was underwhelmed by the love story. It really didn't play a whole big factor in this movie for me. There was the dialogue was not, you know, that strong. There was just, I think for nostalgia and for what it was, it's still a fun movie to watch, but it's really not that compelling or amazing compared to today's standards, I guess.
Mike, as a first-time viewer, is Rotten Tomatoes right or wrong?
I think that they're wrong again, but they're wrong for some of the reasons that Brad said they might be right. And what I mean is this. If you go into this movie, I imagine if you went into this movie knowing nothing. Obviously, I went into it with a lot of history, even having not seen it. This movie is iconic. It is well established in pop culture. And so I went into it with a lot of knowledge about it. But if you went into it with no knowledge, if this is the first time that you had ever watched or ever heard of it in 2022, I think that they're probably right. The problem is you're grading a 1986 action flick against 2022. And I think if you put this against other mid-80s action flicks, there's no way that this thing is rotten. I probably let you telling me that it was that the current one was at 97 drag me up a little higher. I probably would have gone at, probably closer to 80, but tried to split the difference a little bit there. So I don't in any way, shape, or form think that this was a great movie when it came out or is a great movie now. But what has withstood the test of time is when you compare it against the era it was in, there's a reason that it is so iconic. And so from my point of view, that makes it so that the critics are wrong. There's no way that this thing is rotten. It probably should fall somewhere in between the fan score and the critic score.
I mean, I definitively think that the critics are wrong on this one. And I mean, it's a conversation we have, but that little consensus that they have is really, really confusing to me. Because honestly, I think what I will agree with Brad on, and I guess it's just a difference of I still have so much love for this movie and rewatch it so often that I anticipate that, and it really doesn't affect me. The action for this being an action movie isn't why I come back. Clearly, it's the same couple of shots they're reusing over and over again for those combat sequences, the couple that they have. Like, this movie only cost, it cost them $15 million in 1986. This wasn't trend setting, breaking the bank, just blowing everybody's mind with the special effects. From what I've heard, the new one is entirely different. Tom Cruise is actually flying the jets in this one. They are legit, doing all of this stuff. Everything you see is an original shot. They filmed all these things like that. This one, and I think that's why this thing is actually being reviewed so highly. And I've heard a lot of people say the new one is better than the original. And I keeping expectations somewhat limited, but I'm not surprised by that because the action is absolutely going to be taken to the next level. What has always brought me back, and what I have always loved about Top Gun, is Tom Cruise is definitively one of the greatest movie stars of all time. I will happily fight that battle. His charisma is an absolute display in this, and the charisma of every single person around him, like Val Kilmer being Iceman, Anthony Edwards being Goose, all of these people. I've never seen Kelly McGillis in anything else that I've enjoyed her in. Her back and forth with him in this, I think, is fantastic. Is the sex scene super awkward? Absolutely. If you lick another person in that way, I have questions about whether or not you've buried some bodies in your backyard. That's really weird. But like, there's just something that works time and again when I see these people on screen. I will always come back for it. So the action, Brad, I agree with you. But the charisma and the interactions, still to this day, I could quote this entire movie, and that's what keeps bringing me back. And that's enough for me. And I guess, Mike, for someone who hasn't seen it, where do you stand now? You've seen it once now, officially. Where does Top Gun stand for you in the pantheon of 80s, 90s action, now knowing exactly what it is?
Well, it's not gonna top some of the 90s action flicks that I have the full-blown nostalgia for. And right or wrong, that's just because of how much I enjoy those. But you actually raise a good point that I wanted to throw this out to you guys. I want to throw a couple of other 80s action movies out, and you tell me, are they better than Top Gun or worse than Top Gun? Just off the top of your head, right? So, Die Hard.
Die Hard's better.
Die Hard's better. I would rewatch Top Gun before I would rewatch Die Hard.
Okay. How about Predator?
Top Gun by a mile on all accounts.
Never seen Predator.
Okay. Aliens.
Top Gun.
Never seen Aliens.
Okay. How about have you well, here's one you've seen, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, let me check my rankings here just to be quite sincere with my response.
My answer is Top Gun, and I can expound on what I'll keep coming back to. But Brad, where did you have him ranked?
Go ahead and expound on it, because I'm still looking. I have it ranked in a different place here.
Did you have more, Mike, that you were going to list off?
No, and because really, those are probably your best competition, what I just went through. Unless if you decide that you want to take the Indiana Jones movies and consider them to be in action, then. But other than that, it goes downhill quickly from there. And so that's my point is, if you're comparing this against 80s action, I think, Brad, you're probably right. Die Hard, probably, but I maybe rewatch this more. So I don't know. It's close. And then after that, this storms away from it. And so this holds up very well against its generation. And I think that it's because it is an eminently watchable movie. It paces well. Even the scenes that don't make a lot of sense in it don't drag as much. So I think, yeah, some of the romance scenes didn't do a whole lot for me, but they didn't drag on forever. They were quick. The beach volleyball, right? It was a fun distraction, but it was quick. It moved along. So I think the pacing of this movie makes it so that it has a little bit of something for everyone, and it doesn't get stuck in any one thing so long that it starts to feel like a drag.
And I think that's what I was going to kind of get into a little bit. When you start naming those other 80s action movies, because there is a definitive difference, right, between 80s, 90s, and 2000 action. They're almost completely different genres. You have to put the decade in front of them. For this, being in the 80s, this to me is absolutely the most fun. Die Hard is right there. I mean, it's close, right? Like there is that battle. But this compared to even Lethal Weapon, like we talked about when we rewatched it, Lethal Weapon has some dark spots. Some really that really slow that movie down and like make it a little bit harder to watch. As much as I love it, like there's the whole like side story with Mel Gibson being actually suicidal, what he's going through, all that stuff, some other stuff, like it brings that mood down. This, there's some drama with like his past and like how he feels about his father, and obviously Goose dying is its whole thing, but that death is really earned because of the work they put in to make you love Goose because of how charismatic Anthony Edwards is with it, and all the other scenes make this so much fun to just sit and have on the TV. Like this movie to me is a perfect blend of like, there are movies that you watch that are so bad, they end up being good because it's just enjoyable, the craziness you're seeing. This has all the elements of that while having a bunch of really good actors on screen that don't allow it to become cartoonish. Like, let's not forget, there's legit a scene in this movie where a guy who's supposed to be pretty high ranking in the Navy storms out of an office screaming, "I want some butts." Like there are things in this movie that should make you just like palm straight to the face. Like, oh my dear God, the volleyball scene. Like this is absolutely like, hey, we've got Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise. These guys are going shirtless and we're going to try to get some women to enjoy this and get like, it's idiotic that they, but I don't care because of how they wrap it all together. Like that scene's iconic. I know there's probably going to be a scene like that in the new one, and I can't wait to see what song they put to it, right? Like they just got the right blend of what should have been cartoonish and just made it wickedly enjoyable to me.
So I have Top Gun ranked quite a bit higher than Lethal Weapon. So yeah, I guess that would be my answer there, I think. But the reason that is it does pull on more nostalgia with the movie, with Tom Cruise, with the soundtrack, with, you know, Anthony Edwards. And it's just it's a more enjoyable movie overall than Lethal Weapon, even though I liked probably more individual scenes and different things in Lethal Weapon than I did in this. But overall, it's just a more fun, easier watch, which is why I think I ranked it higher by about 12 spots. So, yeah, I mean, I disagree with your take, Ethan, on how, you know, how the charisma and different things like that. I think that's actually what robbed it some from me, because besides Anthony Edwards and a couple of other scenes, I felt like the charisma was just kind of, pardon the pun, but kind of cold, Iceman-ish, like he was that person for a reason. That was the character he was, but I think a lot of the movie reflected some of that too in some ways. So it lacked a little bit, but still, I'm not going to go too hard in the paint. Mike, if you had picked 80, I would have still taken the under, because in my mind I was thinking like 75, 76. But yeah, 56 is definitely way too low.
As you guys were talking, this brings up one other point of this movie that I would love your perspectives on, and both of you, but Brad in particular, because this is really your wheelhouse. This movie may be one of the most well-done movies when it comes to taking advantage of popular music and the way that the music plays through it. I from the beginning to the end, they were just rocking some great mid-80s music, and it fit, at least from my perspective, after all of these years, really, really well through that. And so I think that's always something for an action movie. We talked about it with Twister a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but I'm curious what you guys thought about that.
So I agree and disagree. I agree with they did use some iconic songs. The problem to me was they used the same few songs over and over, where they lost, and maybe it's royalties, maybe it's whatever, but they lost a lot for me by not taking advantage of some more iconic music and putting it in there. I forget what were they? Was it Hungry Eyes and Highway to the Danger Zone or something like?
Playing with the boys.
Yeah, like but two or three of those songs, every time there was a love scene, they were playing the same love song. When there's an action scene, two or three different times they played that same song, and which was fine. That didn't make it unenjoyable. I just, when it was over, looked back and was like, wow, I would have liked to have heard more. But I'm sure that, starts adding costs that they didn't feel was necessary, because did have a good soundtrack that made the movie more enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved the music in it. I think even the score that goes off on the beat at the beginning before Danger Zone even kicks in, I think is really good. Playing with the Boys has always been just like my favorite song from it. But I also enjoyed the music that they used not written for the movie. Like when him and Kelly McGillis are sitting there after their dinner or before their dinner, it's after the volleyball scene, and sitting on the dock of the bay is playing. And I liked how they used that as kind of that intro to give us that little more story about his dad, and like using that song kind of calms the scene down and the movie down for just a quick little breath. And I don't know, I've just always associated that song with this movie, because I liked how they used that too. So I liked how they used it. I get what you're saying, Brad, the repeat over and over again. I think that's kind of more of just an 80s thing. Like, you got Kenny Loggins to write you a song, and by God, you're going to use that song over and over again. And it's actually the love song, which I actually hate the love song, and I also hate the sex scene in this movie. Like I said, it's freaking weird, and whoever choreographed that needs to, I don't know, get some lessons or something. But that song won Best Original Song at the Academy Awards. So people like that song. I don't, but I do understand what you say about the repetitive nature of it.
Did you just say you hate love songs?
That love song. I love love songs, but I don't like
Okay.
that song.
I was gonna say, you've waxed poetic about Iris from the Goo Goo Dolls,
Oh,
and I mean,
yeah.
that's clearly a love song from a movie. So
No.
you surprised me with that, what I thought I heard you say. So okay, that makes more sense.
And I can't think of the name of that song off the top of my head, but
Which one?
the song that plays during the sex scene. But that won Best Original Song at the Academy Awards.
I'm kind of proud of myself, because you mentioned, I guess, a weird lick during the sex scene, and I guess I realized that, like, I don't have any desire to see Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis get it on, so I think I just kind of looked the other way or zoned out, because I had no idea there was a weird lick. And kudos, because, you know, 15-year-old Brad would have probably been really into that, but yeah, I could have cared less now. So didn't even notice a weird lick, and glad I didn't pay attention.
I can promise you, at no height of my horny teenageness or whatever, did I ever watch that and go, yeah, that's totally how that has to be. That I've noticed that scene for years and have always just been uncomfortable when that comes on. So whenever the next time you rewatch Top Gun is, just, you know, pay attention to the silhouetted sex scene.
Not going to do it.
I do want to ask you guys this, because we do. I mean, we'll just touch on this real quick. Tom Cruise. If you're going with a Tom Cruise action film, where are you going? I think it's really hard to just ask you guys, is this Tom Cruise's peak? Because, I mean, he has two completely different careers, right? He has his action career, and he also has the side of it where this dude is an Academy Award level actor. So they're two completely different things. So just focusing on this genre, where are you guys going to go moving forward? Now, Mike, that you have this as something you've seen, is it Top Gun? Are you more Mission Impossible? You know, you guys, Days of Thunder, you like Top Gun in a race car? Like, where are you guys going?
I mean, I haven't seen Mission Impossible in a really long time, or any of the Mission Impossibles in a long time, so it's hard for me to say exactly, but I think that I would still rank those higher than this as far as his action. I like the idea of The Last Samurai, but it's also kind of a little bit of a letdown as far as what it could be, versus what it ends up being. I also haven't seen Days of Thunder. I was pretty entertained by the one where he's like running drugs, in a airplane. I forget what it's called.
Yeah. I'll pull that up.
That one was pretty interesting, but, I think that, yeah, for me, I got to go Mission Impossible. Just as a complete series, it beats this. Now, if this new Top Gun lives up to what people are saying it should be, then maybe the duplicate, you know, the Top Gun sequel and prequel there will overtake it. But for right now, for me, it's Mission Impossible.
I think for most people, it would be Mission Impossible. And I guess I don't really have a whole lot to add, Brad, to what you said. I agree with everything down to, I like the thought or the idea, the concept behind Last Samurai, but I don't think that there's anything he can do that really puts up against the Mission Impossibles, unless this sequel truly is a 97%, in which case perhaps his role as Maverick does overtake that.
Yeah, I mean, we will see what that holds this weekend. I mean, what he does in Mission Impossible, I mean, the man is just accepting the fact that he's going to die while he's filming a movie, and he does not care. The stunts that he pulls off are something to marvel. I mean, if there's enough action in Collateral that we can count that, I know, Brad, did you ever go watch Collateral, Brad?
I did. Okay, so. Yeah, it's entertaining.
I mean, I still think that's the best complete thing that Tom Cruise has ever put to screen. I know Mike and I waxed poetic about that for a good long while on that episode. That will always be the standard bearer for me of what a Tom Cruise movie can be. But there's also a lot more drama in that than something else. But it is a pretty pure action movie at times as well. All right, guys, let's wrap up this conversation about Top Gun. Let's do favorite scene. Fellas, what is it? What is your favorite scene from Top Gun? And no judgments if it is the volleyball scene. We're all very comfortable in the men that we are. And if you want to admit that, go for it.
I'm going to take a bit of a cop-out answer with this, because there isn't a particular scene that jumped out to me. But my favorite part of the movie were Goose and Iceman's interaction. So my answer is going to be those scenes where you get the back and forth between Tom Cruise and Anthony Edwards. I walked away from this realizing that all of those scenes were the most enjoyable to me. I think they were a really good pairing, and that was a highlight of the film for me. So That's my favorite scene, is any scene with Iceman and Goose.
Maverick and Goose?
Yeah. I just watched that for the first time, and even I was like, that doesn't add up, what you just said.
I was looking at some of our names there with on the anchor here, and I got Ice on the brain, but yes, Maverick and Goose for sure. My bad, and apologies to Tom Cruise there.
So I think that for me, the scene in this that I enjoyed the most, and it kind of goes along with what you were just saying, Brad, but it was actually the interaction and the goofiness in the bar scene with the piano playing, and just seeing Anthony Edwards and Tom Cruise play off of each other there. And so that ended up being my favorite scene, and I got a reaction out of you, Ethan, so I'll let you take over from there.
Yes, that's the best scene in the whole movie. Meg Ryan is so awesome, and nobody knew who she was when she got cast in this. She was a nobody. Now everybody knows who she is. This was long before When Harry Met Sally. I love her interactions with Kelly McGillis. The whole, like, you know, he is 100% in love with you. And then I'll just give it away. I don't know if you guys have, like, a favorite quotable line from this movie, which I think is what we have to go with. It's not favorite line. It's just, what do you think the most quotable line is from this? And I know people will always say Need for Speed, whatever. No. The greatest line from this movie is, Goose, you big stud. Take me to bed or lose me forever. Show me the way, honey. That you get that in that scene, you get the great balls of fire. And let me tell you what, if my perfect, amazing girlfriend ever said, take me to bed or lose me forever, that would be all I would need to die a happy man.
It's hard to tap that. I think I did also appreciate the line, and I can't remember it exactly. I didn't write it down, but where basically they're talking about you can't think when you're flying, right? It's got to be instincts. You can't be thinking up there if you think you're dead. And I liked that just from the standpoint of it does talk about just really how incredible it is that we have people who have the instincts to fly planes like this and to, you know, engage in combat drills and then real combat like that. But it does come down to instincts so much. So I'd give a shout out to that.
Brad, any just very quotable line for you in your everyday life?
I guess one line that I was just kind of like, wow, that is so out of place, is when he shows up at her house and he's like, hey, can I use your shower? Like, that, I'm just like, what? Like, who gets to dinner late, walks into someone's house, and then asks to use their shower? You know, like, it's definitely not a memorable or quotable line, but it was so weirdly placed there that I was just kind of like, why? Like, why even add that? But yeah, that line stood out to me.
Well, let me then just ask you guys one last question before we put a cap on this episode. Just gut reaction. You just got to give me your instant answer. Who has more sexual chemistry in this movie? Maverick and Charlie, or Maverick and Iceman? See? There are some shower room scenes in this film, let me tell you. That make me question what the writers were doing when they made this movie. You guys don't have to actually answer that. We all know what the real answer is, and that's fine.
That was rhetorical.
All right, that will wrap up our conversation of Top Gun. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope everyone goes and sees Top Gun Maverick this weekend. It's insane. Tom Cruise has never had a movie open more than $65 million, and this is tracking for like 110. So this is looking like it's going to be the biggest movie of his career, which is crazy to think about for all the hits that he's had. But we'll see. And we'll see if it lives up to that 97% rating it's been holding for a couple weeks.
I got a comment to that, though. I think the reason it's going to be the biggest of his career is because, like, I think COVID did that a lot of favors. I think people have been craving this type of moment where they could just kind of forget about what they're doing, go get together, and kind of remember what it used to be like to just go and collectively as a nation pick a movie to go see for a summer blockbuster. And people have craved that the last couple years. And I think this is the first one that really taps into that. And I think the new Jurassic Park will give it a run for its money. But I think it's just because there's so many of those, I think it loses its luster. But this is 30 years in the making. And also, you know, two and a half years from people just being able to go and get lost in a summer blockbuster like this. So it's going to reap all the benefits of perfect timing for a film for sure.
But that'll do it. That is our conversation on Top Gun. Join us next week. We are going to be talking Baby Driver as we kick off the month of June. But other than that, guys, for Mike, for Brad, I'm Ethan. We'll see you next time.